This is a download from the BBC. For more information and our terms of use, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.
I used to play when I was, 10 or 11, I used to play against the wall, and I was playing against her. You know, I don't have anything to lose. I just have to try to play loose and see what happened out there.
Former Wimbledon winner Conchita Martinez using English to talk about childhood dreams of becoming a tennis champion. And also in the programme, Richard Hallows will be with me again to look at what makes Conchita such an effective user of English as an international language. Richard will also be giving us some more advice on becoming better speakers. Conchita Martinez is from Spain, but when she became an international tennis star, she needed to speak English. In this clip, she remembers how, as a young girl, she practiced tennis by hitting a ball up against a wall, and she imagined she was playing against famous tennis stars, players like Martina Navratilova. In 1994, her dream came true, and she faced her childhood heroine, Martina Navratilova, at Wimbledon in the women's final. Conchita spoke to the international press before the match.
I used to play when I was, 10 or 11. I used to play against the wall, and I was playing against her. You know, I don't have anything to lose. I just have to try to play loose and see what happened out there.
Conchita speaks English very well. But what's she doing that makes her such a good communicator in English? What's her secret to better speaking?
BBClearningEnglish.com.
And with me again in the studio is teacher and teacher trainer Richard Hallows. Hello, Richard.
Hello, Callum.
Before we hear some advice from Richard, let's listen again to Conchita Martinez.
I used to play when I was, 10 or 11, I used to play against the wall, and I was playing against her. You know, I don't have anything to lose. I just have to try to play loose and see what happened out there.
So not a very clear recording there, Richard. I apologise for that. But is she a clear speaker?
I think Conchita, obviously she speaks quite well, but I think she sounds better because she has certain kind of tricks that she uses.
Tricks? What do you mean by that?
She uses lots of fillers and hesitation devices. For example, when she's speaking, she says like quite a lot and quite a lot and you know. Now, these words don't have any meaning in themselves, but they're very useful to make yourself sound more fluent and confident.
So if you're speaking and you want to give the impression that you're fluent, you use these things like and that kind of thing.
Obviously, you're exaggerating, you're making that, you're using this quite a lot. If you use these fillers, hesitation devices too much, it can actually sound quite irritating.
Right. So they are good things to use to make it sound natural, but don't overdo it.
Not too much.
I used to play when I was, 10 or 11, I used to play against the wall, and I was playing against her.
I think there are some particular places we might think about where you could incorporate, where you could use this sound, and think about the extra sound that it makes. Let me give you an example. Maybe that's not very clear. If I'm giving my opinion, for example, I might use the expression "I think." Now, to give myself some time to think about my opinion, I could say, "I think," and there's a very strong "ker" sound there. Mm-hmm. Make yourself sound very natural.
All right, so you're sort of linking the words and the ideas together, and that sounds natural as it's giving yourself thinking time.
If I were giving you some advice, maybe I could say, if I were you, I'd... And we have that "der" sound.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very natural, very confident sounding.
And this sound itself, is common in many parts of English, isn't it?
It's common in many languages, in fact, but not all languages. But yes, in English, and we use it a lot. So Conchita's talking about, I had to practice, you know, it was difficult, you know. And this, you know, it doesn't mean anything, but it just makes her sound, again, more confident, more fluent.
And again, that sound in there.
What are other examples of where we use this "er" sound?
Okay, the "er" sound is not the "er," but the "er" is the most common sound in English. We use it all the time. If there's one sound which people should learn when they're speaking English, it's this "er" sound. For example, she says, "And I was like playing her." So instead of saying "and," she says "un." Mm-hmm. Instead of saying "was," she says "was." And instead of saying "her," she says "her."
Now, is that lazy speech? Some people might say that's not speaking properly.
No, not at all. It's the correct way to speak. If you don't use the sound, you're going to find your speech much slower. It's going to be more difficult because you have to pronounce every word very correctly, using your mouth, moving your mouth a lot. It's how we speak in English.
So it's a very weak sound, which helps you be more fluent when you're speaking.
Mm. It helps often if you think about when you learn a grammar structure, for example. Think about when you compare two things and we say taller than, but when we're speaking very quickly, we say taller than. Mm. So I think, for example, Callum, I'm 1.70 meters, and how tall are you?
I've no idea in the metric. I know I'm 5'8.5". So.
Okay, so I think you're about 1.75 or something.
Oh, I see. So you're taller than I am.
Yeah. I'm taller than you.
Okay, taller than. It's not taller than. It's taller than.
Yeah. Look how difficult it is to say taller than when compared to taller than, and it's what people really say. That's the important point.
So apart from this weak sound, this sound, any other particular pronunciation points you would like to draw our attention to?
Yeah, Conchita loses the T on the end of some of her words, which, again, is the correct thing to do in certain situations. She says, see what happens out there, not see what happens out there, which is much more difficult to say. So, again, by losing certain sounds, she makes her speech more fluent.
You know, I don't have anything to lose. I just have to try to play loose and see what happens out there.
So, thank you very much once again, Richard Hallows.
Thanks, Callum.
BBClearningEnglish.com.
Sometimes we use noises rather than words to hesitate. Such hesitation varies from one language to another. This is what they do in Somali.
In or N is what our people use. So even if they speak in different languages, so in or N is the best word for us to feel the hesitations.
As we said, in English we use the sound hmm or But as Richard warned me, if we overuse these sounds, we can sound the very opposite of fluent. So what else can we say to give ourselves time to think when we're speaking? Listen to this conversation. A man is asked a question about Shakespeare and his plays. He needs a bit of time to think of the answer. What phrases does he use to give himself that time to think?
Are you interested in Shakespeare?
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose I'm sort of interested. No, he's a great playwright. Yeah, I suppose I... No, I am. I am interested.
That man sounded like he needed time to think, and he used certain phrases to give himself time. He certainly uses He also used the phrase, you know. Another very common spoken English expression used by that man was sort of. Listen again.
Are you interested in Shakespeare?
Yeah, I suppose I'm sort of interested. He's a great playwright. I am interested.
Now here's another useful tip for giving yourself time when speaking English. If you're asked a question, then you can just repeat it before you answer it. This man does something similar. He's asked a rather tricky question about men's clothes. What does it mean when a man wears a suit? Listen to how he answers this.
And ultimately, what do you think the suit represents?
Oh, dear.
In your terms, how do you think it defines a person?
I think that the suit can take away... that's a very good question. What does a suit define? I don't know.
That's another very good way to answer a difficult question or to give yourself time to think. The man said, that's a very good question. And then he repeated the question. Let's hear it again.
And ultimately, what do you think the suit represents?
Oh, dear.
In your terms, how do you think it defines a person?
I think that the suit can take away... that's a very good question. What does a suit define? I don't know.
Now, before we go today, if you didn't quite catch all of Richard's better speaking tips, don't worry, here's a chance to hear them again.
You'll sound more natural and fluent when speaking English if you use hesitation devices and phrases which give you time to think. Noises like, phrases like, you know, and sort of...
When she's speaking, she says like quite a lot and quite a lot and you know. Now, these words don't have any meaning in themselves, but they're very useful to make yourself sound more fluent and confident.
Use the hesitation noise with set phrases like, if I were you, I'd... If you're asked a question, you can give yourself time to think by repeating the question or saying, that's a good question.
In your terms, how do you think it defines a person?
I think that the suit can take away... that's a very good question. What does a suit define? I don't know.
That was Talk About English from bbclearningenglish.com.